The Work in Portland, Maine, and the East. Portland, Maine, July 3rd, 1909. Here we are, July 3rd. Our journey was rather trying from South Lancaster to Portland, Maine. The cars seemed inferior, and there were some who for a time could not obtain seats. I had a seat with a stranger, and the cars were crowded. We thought this a very uninteresting part of our journey. At Portland, we found my nephew, for whom we were looking, and whom I had never seen, the son of my twin sister who has been dead several years. We had a hearty reception. My nephew's influence helped to obtain the land on which to pitch our tents, and there was plenty of room. He and his wife were glad to meet us. They are members of the Baptist Church. They are well located, and he is well situated. He has his business to attend to, a store, and we have not seen much of him. His wife appears to be an excellent woman. They have one child who is off at school in Gorham to obtain an education in a favorable location. We feel deeply over Portland. We have not been here for many years. We were acquainted with Portland when the Great Advent Movement was going on in 1840 to 43, when Father Miller, Elder Himes, and many of the leading important speakers were giving the testing message. For years, the warning was given in this important city of Portland, and the power of God attended the messages. But time has been passing, and I was given an important message for the people. For many years, there has not been a special work carried forward, and now we are here, and much light has been given me recently that Portland and these cities in the eastern states that ought to have been labored for many years ago must be worked. For years, very little has been done to build up the work that ought to have been done in many places. Proper men should have been duly appointed and special efforts made, and not leave such a place almost destitute of help. Workers must now be appointed who will make most determined efforts, working and praying and drawing in even cords. Men must be appointed who will first lay hold of the Lord's gracious promises, and then, under subjection to the Holy Spirit, do the very work which has been neglected. Build a church, or hire a suitable place to build up the work, all under the Holy Spirit's guidance. Read Acts and learn the lessons brought to view in the first chapter and following chapters, especially the first chapter. This whole history is of importance to the setting of things in order. We need to encourage a special work to be done. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9, verse 35 to 38. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits, to cast them out, and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Now the names of the 12 apostles are these: the first, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew his brother, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the publican, James the son of Alphaeus, and Lebbaeus, whose surname was Thaddeus, Simon the Canaanite, and Judas Iscariot, who also betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent forth, and commanded them, saying, Go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as ye go, preach, saying, The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Provide neither gold, nor silver, nor brass in your purses, nor scrip for your journey, neither two coats, neither shoes, nor yet staves. For the workman is worthy of his meat. Matthew 10, verse 1 to 10.
This chapter is an important one. There is an important message to bear to the people. You will be called to many places, and as you respond, the burden will come to you. You have no time to lose. Our people need now to seek the Lord decidedly to understand that is our conference, there is to be a change made. There is to be a division of the working fields and centers made that will give appropriate governing power to each section. Officers are needed, with well-balanced minds to give proper attention to such fields as Portland and other parts of Maine that need help. This neglect is to be remedied as fast as possible. Departments must be organized and workers chosen who will assume responsibilities in the fear of God. Some mistakes may be made in choosing men, but let the divisions be made. Have a force of working men who will consent to be worked, and then have the different sections come together in quarterly meetings and compare notes and counsel together. Our cities in the east have been passed by and scarcely worked at all. The question was asked, "What have you done for these cities?" God asks it. The Lord looks upon this neglected work and declares, "Divide and change and re-elect if necessary, but be sure that self is first under rule to God." The Lord is displeased that so large a work, embracing such vast responsibilities, is permitted year after year to be borne by so few. The same men, when the special message has been over and over set before the general conference, that specified centers are to be made. We feel now an intensity of burden for places that the last messages have not yet reached. There are the eastern states left unwarned. What will we do to get the truth before cities and in the highways and the byways that have never heard the warning? Christ has pointed them out distinctly. Oh, that the Lord would work upon human hearts and the truth bear its weight with power and be felt in its purity. Now is our time and opportunity to let the light shine forth in clear, distinct rays from the word of the Lord. Truth and righteousness are to go before us to the people. The work is to be carried forward in earnest, sincere labor, and in the pure gospel simplicity. How many restraints are continually raised up, lest some means shall be called for in needy places. I am to lift up my voice of warning, for the work has not made a beginning in many places, but many hindrances have been suggested where the Lord designed only encouragement. Urgency should be given, and these hindrances are to be removed. Men of faith are needed, who will not put up the bars, because there will be need of means to start the work. There is now to be a change, and there must be division of responsibility to remedy the neglect. The same men are not to be selected for all responsibilities, for their past showing is not a confirmation of their wisdom or correct bearings. We have come to a place where there must be a change in the administration. One set of men are not always to stand as qualified for the bearing of large responsibilities. Men are needed who evidence that they are ruled by the Lord and controlled by strictest integrity. I am pained to say there needs to be a change of elements. The present showing is not correct in the sight of God. Many things that should have been done have not been done. Many souls that might have been reached and the truth bear a decided victory have not been reached. Nothing has been done in large, neglected centers because of the necessity of means to do the work. It is time that a change is made, that the neglected cities are entered everywhere in America. In different sections, men are to be appointed to care for these different sections. I have, during this last general conference, refused to see and converse with any in private conversation of their plans. I have therefore been left with the Lord to work me. When many have poured their individual and family troubles into my mind, then, if I had a message to bear, some might say, I told her that. But if I have no conversation with anyone, they cannot say, I told Sister White that. The Lord has instructed me what to say. No visitors have been allowed to come largely to Sister White with all their supposed perplexities. They may not understand my words, and I have had to meet things that have been reported Sister White has advised, and they have misstated my words. Now there was a proposition made that no one should visit Sister White unless she called for them to communicate something to them. Therefore, I was free from all callers, unless it was supposed to be a necessity. Thus, I had altogether a more favorable opportunity than ever I have had before in my life. Time to think, to call to mind the Lord Jesus' teachings, and to pray that the Lord would direct and counsel me, and give me his word and his light in counsel.
Oh, I have felt I bore a heavy burden of responsibility in our large meetings. And statements have been reported that I knew I had never made. Now, if I can be left to speak my message before all, and then do the happy thing of writing important matter to be read to those present, misinterpretation would not worry me, for I would have it all written out, and therefore could deny any false statement, for the whole congregation had the matter. And I found my private talking had wearied me much more than speaking to the whole large congregation, because I could use my abdominal muscles and throw out my words without taxing my throat and my lungs. I thank the Lord I could make the large congregation hear, and my whole system was less taxed than in so many private talks. And I need not worry, for I had written them under the special inspiration of the Spirit of God. I felt that the Lord had given me his grace and his light to impart. Therefore, when I have talks to give, I will write them out. And when my enemies or friends shall unadvisedly report falsely what I say, I can produce the original. I never experienced more of the deep moving of the Holy Spirit in talking than I have when reading these testimonies, speaking the messages God has given me. And then I could sleep peacefully, for my enemies could not affirm that Sister White said things that I never did say. This will now be my assurance in the public meetings before a large number. I am so thankful for this relief. I praise the Lord that I can make certain communications before all classes, and then, if reports are incorrect, state exactly it is written. I save myself from many trials by having all I should bring before the people written out. I wish to speak decidedly that all our books that bear the messages of present truth are to speak now in being sold everywhere, not alone the largest books, but books of every size. Those which children cannot well handle, grown people can manage to handle. The book Christ's Object Lessons, one donated to our schools to be sold for the benefit of all who receive them, but especially for many to handle, stating why they sell these books. They are to be sold to pay the expense of the church school tuition. Of all the large sales of Ministry of Healing and Christ's Object Lessons, I have not appropriated one penny for my own personal benefit. I have given some books to those too poor to buy them, and shall continue to do this. I wished to have all who desire to have these books written in the most simple language. When my copyists, in typing on the machine, have made copies, I have occasionally seen a word introduced that is not my expression. I cut out the sentence and have it recopied. I will have my own simple language of expression. The Lord Jesus accepted me in my childhood experience, and every article I write must be so plain that the little child in years may comprehend it. The language of Christ was so simple in expression that even the unlearned could understand his discourses. Read and understand the first epistle of John.
The figures used to illustrate his subject were of a character the people could comprehend. Christ's object lessons is easily comprehended, and yet is of the highest order. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. But ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. 1 John 2, verse 18 to 21. We have the privilege now in 1909 of coming to the light. We are not to be at variance. Representations have been made to me that the Lord is full of mercies to bestow upon us when we will become as little children to learn the will and ways of God out of His Word, which is Spirit and which is life, eternal life. I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because ye know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Verse 21. From henceforth the truth is to go with special power. Men are not in these last times to be bound down and forbidden to go forth and enter any place in the power and under the grace of God and kindle an interest wherever they can.
Portland is one place specified concerning which I should bear a special testimony, and for which I should be free to ask donations in any place where I should go, no man forbidding me. There must be a meeting house, plain but wisely designed, for the accomplishment of the great and telling work which is to be done in that city. A sanitarium should be designed and do a work such as has been done in many places. Temperance shall stand forth in its dignity and in its sacred reformatory work. The people are to understand the truth as it is in Jesus. We profess to have a knowledge of the Word as to what is truth in these last days. Then are we prepared to work in harmony and to graduate when the seal of God shall be placed upon us? Now is our time to prepare for the future events. The Lord has given me largely of His Holy Spirit, and I have borne a decided testimony in Portland, Maine. The Spirit of God was upon me, and the congregation was deeply moved, and the message is to be heard, revived, and given in all our cities in the eastern states. Any who will unite with me in this grand work will be blessed of God. Tacoma Park, Washington, has had a great and grand work done in it, and now the eastern work is to be furnished with means to bring the light of truth to the eastern cities. Thus the order was shown me years ago. The work must go from the east to the west, and then the warning message was to return to the east, and all our cities be awakened. There is not to be a large amount of money continually absorbed in Washington. The cities in the eastern states are in midnight darkness concerning the testing truth. The truth is to embrace the whole field. I have words to write to all who will hear. I am to say to those professed believers who have had light and have felt it their privilege to oppose, not openly but under cover, the work of God to be carried forward in these last days, that their actions are written against them in the books of heaven, as counterworking the movements of the Holy Spirit to give His messages to the very ones who need them. These men, here and there, have, through their own imaginations, because they have been reproved and corrected for their wrong course, taken it upon themselves to counterwork the very working agencies the Lord has appointed. They refuse to be influenced by all the proofs given of God. They stubbornly go on in their own way, and it will be found that they have taken upon themselves to sow the seeds of doubt. They have ignored the very messages God has given to His people, and yet have been entrusted with religious responsibilities of a high character, and held in office to counterwork the very light God has given to His people.
This has been done in some places, in San Francisco, in Oakland, and in any place where they may drop tare seeds to make of no account the messages God has given to his people. The Lord would have accepted these men as his workers, but they chose to follow their own line of unsettling the faith of those who believe the messages God has given for the benefit of his people. We are to encourage the faith of the seekers after the truth. The Lord has made decided statements of what is truth and what is error. It has been worked out decidedly. The opposing ones cannot be trusted with responsibilities because they have put up their own bars. It is these objectionable features that brought us from Australia for the healthfulness of his cause to be maintained. The word of God has been magnified against the counterworking of a few who, had they taken the right side with Christ, would have been greatly enlightened themselves and others enlightened through them. How many inquiring minds these counterworkers have balanced in the wrong direction will never be known until the judgment shall sit and the books be opened and every case decided. All who will work intelligently with heart and soul on the right side and cease their opposition to testimonies given to correct their errors will see what a counter-influence they have been against truth and sound judgment. The last great conflict is right upon us, and the men and their deceptive influence will stand forth as God shall pronounce it. See Testimonies, Volume 6, Number 34.